Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Medical Monday, September 29th. I'm Ray Graff. Support comes from Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York, providing a continuum of care for seniors, offering them opportunities to live at age gracefully with dignity and respect. DaughtersofSarah.org. Joining us today are two doctors, Dr. Gary Kocharian and Dr. John Leibovitz of Nuvance Health, which is now part of Northwell Health. They're here to answer your brain and or spine health questions. They are experts, and they understand conditions like brain aneurysms and strokes, as well as back and neck pain. If you have a question, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Email voxpop@wamc.org. Back after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Medical Monday, and joining us today are Dr. Gary Kocharian and Dr. John Leibovitz of Nuvance Health, which is now part of Northwell Health. Dr. Kocharian is a fellowship-trained neurosurgeon who treats diseases of the brain and spine. He specializes in minimally invasive treatment of brain aneurysms, arteriovenous malformations, and fistulas, as well as the treatment of carotid artery disease and stroke. Dr. Leibovitz is chief of neurointerventional surgery at Vassar Brothers Medical Center. He specializes in cerebrovascular neurosurgery. He focuses on the treatment of degenerative spine and traumatic injuries to the brain and spine. He brought radial neurointerventions to its practice in Fairfield County for both diagnostic procedures as well as the treatment of stroke. If you have a question today, it's 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Now, just a reminder, at some point here, we're gonna break shortly for some questions from U.S. President Donald Trump and Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. When we get the go-ahead on that, we will go to that coverage. Meantime, let's welcome Dr. Jonathan Leibovitz. I guess Dr. Kocharian's not in with us yet, but welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Before we get started, and we have questions already on the line, tell me what radial neurointerventions are.
Sure, it's a good question. So the radial artery is the artery in your arm, and most neurointerventions were done from the femoral artery or the artery in the groin. Within the last 7 years, some doctors started doing brain interventions from the arm, and I brought that to initially in Fairfield County when I worked in Connecticut, and also to Vassar Brothers in Poughkeepsie in the Hudson Valley.
What is the advantage of going in through the arm?
It is safer. There's less. You're bypassing all the major internal organs, so less chance of bleeding or damaging those organs, and it's also more comfortable when you have to close the artery in the leg. You have to lay flat for a period of hours, where when you go from the arm, you wear a little wristband for an hour or so, but you can be up and about and moving around. So it's just safer and more comfortable.
We are joined today by Dr. Jonathan Leibovitz, chief of neurointerventional surgery at Vassar Brothers Medical Center. At some point, I assume, we'll be joined by Dr. Gary Kocharian. You know, I got to say, doctor, thank you for being on the show at short notice. We had a scheduled surgeon who had emergency surgery today, so you stepped in, and I'm very, very happy to have you on this program.
My pleasure. I did this, I think, a year or so ago. It was a lot of fun, so I'm happy to be able to come back.
That's great, and I'm glad that you were able to do it, even if it's over the phone, which is never ideal, but I know that you'll be able to hear the people calling, and I can hear you, so it all works. Very quickly, before we go to the calls, and again, we are going to stop at some point for President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu. They'll be taking questions after Gaza peace talks, and we'll have that for you live. Getting back to the radial neurointerventions, however, what can you not do when you enter through the arm?
There's very few things that we can't do now from the arm. Some of the stroke interventions we do, the equipment is still better when you come from the femoral artery or the leg, but most brain aneurysms can be treated from the arm. We can do all of our diagnostic procedures from the arm. Some other brain AVMs or fistulas, which are kind of other complex blood vessel diseases we can do from the arm. And a new thing we do a lot of is a lot of patients have subdural hematoma. It's a bleeding on top of the brain that's more common in older people, especially on blood thinners. And we can do a minimally invasive embolization now through the arm where we can avoid surgery where we used to have to, you know, remove a window of bone to drain that fluid. We can now treat a lot of these patients from the arm with a minimally invasive embolization procedure.
Interesting. So these hematomas that happen when they're worse when people are on blood thinners, how does a patient know that they even have them?
You know, they usually will have headaches and other signs of a stroke, some a weakness, a numbness, a speech problem, a slurred speech, difficulty reading, blurry vision, et cetera, that would bring you to the hospital where you would, you know, get evaluated, you know, with a CAT scan, usually looking again for a blood vessel blockage. But a lot of times we're finding these what are called chronic, meaning old, subdural hematomas, which is blood, again, on top of the surface of the brain, but underneath the dura, the sac of the brain. And in many instances, we can treat that from the arm instead of needing to formally drain the blood.
We're joined today by Dr. Jonathan Leibovitz of Vassar Brothers Medical Center. I tell you what, let's take a couple of calls. I have a feeling that President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu are going to speak soon. But let's go to Mike and Lee. And if I have to interrupt both of you, I apologize, but we'll come back as soon as they're done. Mike, go ahead.
Hi. So there's been a few times where, like, I'll choke on spit and then my vision will go dark. And I'll get, like, a throbbing headache behind my left eye, kind of above it. Is that something serious I should be, like, looking into?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. So, you know, I guess I'm not sure why you're having trouble swallowing. So I think if we're having trouble swallowing, that would be something that I would be worried about and would want you to get, you know, evaluated by one of your doctors. You know, we think of it as kind of a benign thing, right? But if you swallow wrong, you could get, you know, lung infections and pneumonia. You know, so that could become a real issue. And I don't know how I can connect, to be honest, the swallowing issue with the vision changes, but, you know, I definitely think that's something I would recommend you talk to your doctor about.
All right. Perfect. Thank you.
No, my pleasure.
Thanks very much for the call. It's 800-348-2551 if you have a question for Dr. Leibovitz and maybe Dr. Kacharian, who, I don't know, we had some last-minute instructions for you guys about the phones, and I think we might have thrown him off his game. So, you know, we'll see. If he pops up, we'll bring him on the show. Let's now go to Stephen in Glens Falls. Stephen, you're on.
Doctors, good afternoon.
Hello.
I'm a physician myself. About 10 years ago, I had a cough-induced right internal carotid dissection that it essentially shut flow off to my right hemisphere briefly. That was shown on angiography in the ED. It resolved completely, and it was obviously brief because I am not a turnip. But
that's great news.
Serendipitously, perhaps, or coincidentally, the angiography also showed that I have a congenital abnormality of the cervical Willis.
Stephen. Stephen,
yes.
Can you roll your window up?
Yes.
It's killing us here, man. The rumble is terrible.
Sorry.
All right, go ahead.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So the Circle of Willis was found to be discontinuous on the left. My frontal lobes both being fed from the right side. My question to you is, and I think I know the answer because it's congenital and I'm still doing fine. Are there future risks of this kind of an anomaly that you are aware of?
Okay. Go ahead, Doc.
So I think we missed you. What anomaly? I didn't hear you. What the specific anomaly was?
Yeah, the circle of Willis is discontinuous on the left. Both right and left frontal lobes are fed from the right.
I see. So Have you ever had pictures of the left carotid artery, like in the neck?
I have not had imaging of my left carotid. No.
Okay. I mean, that would be my first question. You described, which is normal. Most people with the carotid artery dissection do well with medical management and non-surgical management. So I'm glad that you healed up nicely. But in terms of your discontinuous circle of Willis, there are a lot of people, a lot of normal variants that don't have a complete circle. And as long as you have some part of the circle, that's generally felt to be okay. But without knowing what exact variant you have, it will be pretty tricky for me to give you more information, unfortunately.
That makes sense. Dr. Leibovitz, we're going to take a break here and get some underwriting in. We are still waiting for President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu to do their thing. We'll be back in a moment. Vox Pop Medical Monday. Ray Graff with you. We're joined today by Dr. Jonathan Leibovitz, neurointerventional chief of surgery at Vassar Brothers Medical Center, and it's very nice on short notice for him to be here. You having fun so far, Doc?
Yes, sir. This is great.
All right, let's grab another call here. A reminder that we are waiting for U.S. President Donald Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. They are scheduled to take questions from reporters. We'll carry that for you live. Meantime, let's go on with the show. We'll go to Falls Village, Connecticut. John, you're on. Go ahead.
Hello, doctor. Thank you so much. I've been asked by President Trump to speak for him.
All right, cut it out.
I'm just kidding.
All right.
I won't. Steven, the last caller, spoke like a doctor.
I think he was a doctor. Like yeah. Do your thing, John.
I know. My wife had a stroke 3.5 years ago, and she was at Vassar Brothers at the beginning of the stroke. And they came the very first day and said, we cannot operate on this, which was her 100% occluded carotid artery. And she had super high blood pressure. Some plaque broke loose, sprinkled all over her brain. Her left side is gone. Her mental capacities are weak. Her cognitive capacities are weak. As you would know, because this is your business. But I'm hoping that somehow, some way, now that it's been 3.5 years, and you might think, well, why don't you ask your doctor? I have, and there's very little answer, you know, with primary care doctors. But anyway, is there any hope? Is the carotid artery going to relax?
Wow.
So most of the time, once they're 100% occluded, we don't open them back up. And I agree with whoever told you that. If it's 100% occluded and someone thinks about doing something right away when it's occluded in the neck and the brain, that's usually a potential surgery. But if it's occluded in the neck 100%, that's not something that people routinely operate on, because to open that blockage up, you're likely going to push some more blockage into the brain like you were describing. And once they're closed, they're felt to be closed forever. Some people potentially were to need other flow. People have kind of attempted brain bypass surgery, and that has also not been found to be helpful in almost all instances. So for some kind of brain aneurysms and other blood vessels used in the brain, people have considered doing brain bypass surgery, but we haven't done brain bypass surgery successfully when there is a blockage in the neck.
John.
Okay. And so the left side's not picking up the difference, because it's been 3.5 years, and her left side, as you know, the right side was caused the damage. Her left side is gone. So
I'm sorry, sir.
We're done.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, doctor.
Stroke is a real tough disease. I'm really, really sorry that you're going through all that.
I know the neurologist said it could be brutal. So
man.
Appreciate you, Doc. Thank you.
Hey, John, thanks for the call.
Pleasure.
Did you just call stroke a disease?
Yeah, I think stroke is a disease.
Explain.
Stroke is kind of a catch-all for a lot of different things, diseases in the brain. You know, the most common thing that we think of as a stroke is when there's a blockage of a blood vessel in the brain, similar to a heart attack. And when that blood vessel in the brain is blocked, then that area of the brain that would have been fed from that blood vessel, you know, has dysfunction or starts to die, and that's why you get a weakness, a numbness, or whatever brain function that brain was capable of doing. That's why it stops working. So there's different treatments, you know, depending on when you come in. There's medicines that the neurologists and the ER doctors can give you to try to break up those clots. Depending on certain findings, I could do a surgery where, again, go from the arm or the leg to reopen that blockage. And those are all things that are done acutely, you know, within the first few hours up to one day from the symptoms. Once it's been a few years, there are not good blood vessel treatments for stroke, unfortunately.
Interesting. Now, why does it have to be so quick? And every time we talk about someone thinking that they're having a stroke, getting as quickly as possible for medical help. Why is it so important that it be done quickly?
You know, the brain does have good, you know, as you're talking about the circle of Willis, which is collateral blood vessels that can kind of pick up the flow, but the brain is not a muscle or another type of organ. So once those brain cells are becoming injured, they could become permanently injured, and that could lead to permanent, you know, neurologic symptoms like our last caller was talking about, unfortunately. So the sooner you get the help, the sooner we can identify the problem. The medicines we can use are something called TPA or TNK. You know, those are only able to be given within the first 4.5 hours after symptoms start. So there really is not a long window to be eligible for those medications. The stroke surgery is up to 24 hours now, but again, that's still not a very long time. And the goal is that once the deficits set in, some of them become permanent. And obviously, we want to give everyone the best chance of recovery that they can have.
We're joined today by Dr. Jonathan Leibovitz, Chief of Neurointerventional Surgery at Fasher Brothers Medical Center. And a reminder that we are going to take live comments from U.S. President Donald Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. That hasn't happened yet, so we'll go on with the show. John from Falls Village, Connecticut. Terrible, sad story about his wife. And unfortunately, you hear these stories all the time. Why, if you can treat a carotid artery blockage at 20% or 30%, you can't, 100% is out of the question. Isn't there a way to clear that blockage either chemically or with a Roto-Rooter style thing or something like that?
So, you know, that's the whole issue, is it's what's downstream. So if it's fully blocked, the only way to get through would be to push some of that blockage, you know, more north or distally.
No.
And what north and distal to that in the neck is the brain.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the problem. If you break through in something, like if it's going to your leg, maybe it goes to the foot, which is still important, but it's not the brain.
Yeah.
So once it's fully closed, we don't try to reopen that because of the risk of stroke.
I think we're about to go to, well, not quite yet. We're about to go to Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu. We have time for a fast call. Good thing Jim in Matamoros always asks a quick question. Jim, go ahead.
Do subluxations occur in medicine, or is a different terminology used?
Say it again, Jim, a little slower.
Do subluxations occur in medicine, or is a different terminology used?
Doctor.
I think we need some more context, if possible, to help answer your question.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, it's called a subluxation in chiropractic, but I think there's a different term used in regular medicine.
I see. Well, you know, it's really talking about, like, especially with chiropractors, we're talking about spine, that, you know, one bone could be, you know, not aligned correctly is what I think they're trying to describe. And most of the time,
hey, we're going to have to, Doctor and Jim, we're going to have to leave it there. President Donald Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu are about to speak.